Last week we talked about trials. We all have difficult times, and just the fact that it's inevitable, we're all going to go through them, right? All you got to look back to is Friday night. We said that, and it's just like, and that's what came to mind. It's like John Weaver from the fire company came, and he's in our basement. I said, yeah, and I just preached on trials last Sunday. Okay. So how are we going to deal with this? How are we going to handle that? Am I going to consider it pure joy? And it's not like we saw all that water in the basement and went, oh boy. No, we just went, oh. But how did we approach it? We thought God can do something through this. He can develop our character. He can help us in persevering through it, because it's going to take a while to clean up. And you got to do different things, and different people have to do different levels of cleanup in their homes, and just going through it. And how's the attitude when you're going through it? Is there a joyful spirit? Is there grousing? Are we complaining? Are we just having a rough time considering what's going to happen? But anyway, the trial, it comes, and it leads to perseverance. That's spiritual toughness that we have. In other words, when you deal with things in your life, you have spiritual toughness that develops. And not like you're immune to things, but that as you deal with things, you learn to deal with them more in a way that honors the Lord. And you allow Him to speak into those situations, even the difficult ones, and to glorify Himself and to speak to others through you by how you're acting, by what you say. It makes all the world a difference for us. But today we're going to look at what we need really kind of to go through those trials, and that's wisdom. That's wisdom. Wisdom is something that is talked about, obviously, in the book of Proverbs. It's the theme of the entire book, and it's personified even. It's a poetic book, which I'm not a big poetry fan. I'm like more like James, just give it to me. Tell me what it means. But wisdom is something that we sometimes lack, and we don't pursue. A lot of times we go through something and you want God to show you what you need to do. It's like, yeah, that billboard up there, God, just write it up there for me, okay? Just tell me what to do and I'll do it. We want to be just kind of like robots. We don't want to act and to follow God. We want a whole roadmap. It's like, you can go on your GPS. You can put in where you're going. You can see every turn all the way down the list. So you know exactly where you're going. So if you're familiar with some of it, you may say, well, I'm going to trust this because you see the whole thing. But if there's something you don't think is the best way to go, you won't trust it. But when we trust God, we go blindly. We step out in faith. And that is the key for this. The theme of the book of James is dynamic faith, we talked about last week. So as we look at James 1 again today, we're in verses 5 to 8. We're just taking four short verses and going to go through that. So verse 5 starts off with, if any of you lacks wisdom, anybody following that character? That's me. Let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Verse 5, wisdom for the asking. Wisdom is there for asking. Just ask for it. Have you ever had a gift that you wanted to give your child, but they needed to ask for it? You wanted to give it to them, but they wouldn't ask for it? It may be a present. It may be help with something. And you wanted to give it to your child, but they wouldn't ask you. They were like the little red hen, I can do it myself. I don't have to rely on anybody else. I can handle this. I've got this. We do that. So wisdom is there for the asking. Let's look at first what wisdom is not. Wisdom is not the accumulation of knowledge. Sorry if you're a school teacher. That is not wisdom. That is knowledge. Knowledge is a good thing. It's not bad. But wisdom is not the accumulation of knowledge. It's not the accumulation of information. It's like we, nowadays, we think we're so much further advanced than other ancient civilizations until you examine some things that they've done. How they did it with limited tools, with limited technology, and they built things, they did things that are, it just blows your mind how they did it. So maybe we're just the accumulation of knowledge, that we aren't too wise by ourselves. It's not like we're smarter. We just have the benefit of accumulated knowledge. So wisdom is not that, though. Because knowledge can puff somebody up. It can make you think you are more than you actually are. Like, you know, I'm Mr. Highfalutin. I know all this stuff. I won that trivia contest. Okay. You know. But we do those things, and it's not that. But rather what wisdom is first of all, it's understanding for living which surpasses earthly wisdom. You might say wisdom is practical knowledge, but it's practical knowledge that is made practical through Christ. Through God's involvement in our life, that's what wisdom is. It's understanding for living which surpasses earthly wisdom. Have you ever known someone who was incredibly smart, but they lacked any common sense? Don't look at your neighbor. Okay, don't look at your neighbor. But they lack no common sense. They, you know, they know all kinds of stuff, but they have no idea how to function. And that's a stark contrast there, but you get the idea that sometimes that happens, where we live our lives and we just don't get it. But God gives us the ability through His wisdom that He gives to us. Wisdom for the asking, what wisdom is. And then God is waiting. It's okay. Also, wisdom is, it's rooted in the fear of God. Proverbs tells us that. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Does that make sense? You're kind of going like this, but do we really know what that means? I sometimes go, wait, I got to stop and think on that a little bit. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Well, you realize who God is. The fear of God. It's not like you're hiding behind a corner. Like, you know, if you saw a mouse or something. So, like Rick and I did it earlier. He took care of it. Don't worry. So, it's not that kind of fear. It's not trembling. And, you know, I would do this to my kids. They would come home from school, and so I'd hide around the corner inside the door and then just scare the bejeebers out of them when they walked in. It was a lot of fun for me. But then they got older, and they started to do it to me, and they would catch me every now and then, and you're frightened. But it's not that kind of fear. It's fear where it's a reverence. You respect who He is. You respect how big God is. You respect the power that He has. You respect the wisdom that He has. And we think, I can't handle this. I need Him. I need God. Life throws all kinds of weird things at you. It throws awful things at us. How do you deal with that without God? It's wisdom. So it's rooted in the fear of God. And then finally here, God is just waiting for us to ask. He wants to give it to us. But He wants us to ask Him. He wants us to depend on Him. You see, you get asked the question, why doesn't God just save everybody? Have you ever been asked that question by someone? Why doesn't God just, everyone's going to heaven, go. We didn't choose him then. We don't appreciate who he is. Some may, but in general, if you're just handed something, do you appreciate it as much? But we have to learn that, yes, I have a need for God. I can't walk this life without him. I need to depend on him, and then learning to depend on him, even in those little ways. Even when you face a flooded basement, even when you face the loss of a family member, even when you face the loss of a job, trouble, relationship issues, God is waiting to give us wisdom to walk through those. Now, we face a trial. A lot of times we want the billboard. God, which way should I go? I have this job opportunity. What should I do? Just tell me already. Send me a text. God doesn't tell us to ask him for the answer, does he? He tells us to ask for wisdom so that we have his wisdom in making decisions, in making choices day by day, no matter how old or young we are, where we can follow him, where we can pursue him, where we can come through trials. He tells us to ask him, and he's waiting for us to ask. Secondly, we'll get into verses 6 through 8. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. There's a lot there in just three short verses. There's a lot there. But wisdom for the believing. And see, he says there is a condition. And what's that condition? It's faith. He says, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Do you believe that God's going to give you wisdom? Or do you want that whole list of directions first so you can make sure it's going to be okay in your eyes? Or do you want to step out in faith? What's it going to be? God wants us to take that step of faith. When I think of a step of faith, I don't know, it's a really old movie now, but one of those Indiana Jones movies, you remember that? Indiana Jones and which one was that? The Lost Ark? What's that? The Holy Grail? Yeah, where Sean Connery was his dad in it. I don't know if that was that the second or third one now. Anyway, he's faced with this test. He has to pass these tests to reach the cave where the Holy Grail is. And he has to take a step of faith. And he's on this cliff and he looks down. And it's like, it's hundreds of feet down. And what it tells him is he has to take a step of faith. So he has to walk and step off, like he's going to just drop into thin air. And he finds that the bridge looks just like what's below it, so he can't even see that there's a bridge there. And we do that. We need to have that step of faith. We're afraid to take it because we're thinking we're going to fall. We're thinking, this is going to be a disaster. I'm going to die. This is not going to work well. And we don't follow God because of that. We choose not to do that. That's the condition, but it's faith. We need to take that step of faith and follow him no matter what. So, and then it goes on to say, for those who do not believe, verse 6 is key here. He who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. Now, if you find yourself vacillating on things, you just, I don't know. We don't ask God for wisdom. I'm not sure how to go about this, what I should do to deal with things. We're like that wave of the sea. Now, I lived in Hawaii for a year. I shared that the first week. And one time there was a group of people, we went boogie boarding, which I successfully rode a wave 2 times in a year. So I wasn't good at it. So, but one time we went to this and it was like a cove, a little cove area. And I had a boogie board that a guy had loaned me, and it was in good shape. And but I was in this cove, and all of a sudden, waves came in from 3 different directions. And they weren't like, 8 foot waves. They were just like, 3, 4 foot. But they came in, wham, wham, wham. I was standing in waist deep water, and I got flipped over 3 times. But that's the feeling. You're blown and tossed by the wind. You're like a ship that's on the ocean that's just drifting. You don't have any direction you're going. And that's what the idea that it has, that doubt that we have, that we don't deal with things. It says that he is also double-minded. Double-minded. What does that mean? What does that mean to be double-minded? It's not like you just can't decide. It means you have 2 minds in it. Yeah, I trust God. But yeah, I know what I should do. Well, I'm going to trust you, God. No, God, we should do this here. Either you're depending on God completely and trusting His wisdom, or you're relying on your own wisdom and strength. What's it going to be? That's a double-minded person. It's like you say to God, it's like, yeah, God, I know that's the way, but I got it. I got this. I'm good. No problem. And then inevitably it doesn't go as well as it should. I always liken that to me working on a project. It should take an hour. It ends up taking about 3 days. So, because I have no idea what I'm doing a lot of time. But you forge on, go forward. But you're double-minded, then that person is also unstable. They're an unstable individual. They can't be relied upon. And this is all related to God's wisdom because we don't have faith. If we don't have faith, we're an unstable person. We won't be a positive influence for Christ. We won't be growing in our walk with Him. It'll be difficult for us to really grow as a believer unless that faith is exercised and we're seeking God's wisdom. Unless we're acting on the wisdom He gives us. Because we believe and we have faith and we don't doubt in where He's leading us. Because there's some things, there's times it doesn't make sense. Simple thing my wife had. She was at the store and she, for some reason, decided to buy this cake. Just because it was a good price. It was one of these at Sharp Shop or one of these frozen ones they have there. It's a really good price on it, so she went ahead and bought it. Now, we're both diabetic. Why would you buy a large cake? She's like, I don't know why. I just need to get it. I don't know, it was that night or the next day. Some of you met Grace. She's been with us every now and then. She wanted to go shopping because of her parents' birthday. And she wanted to get a cake or make one. Sherry goes, check, that's covered. Got the cake. And they had a cake for the birthday party. So it's just, it makes no sense. But sometimes when it makes no sense, it may be a huge risk for you. You may not like what you fear in your mind. Well, but God, this could happen. But God, and you argue with Him, you go back and forth. You're unstable. And then also, pride is a problem. Yeah, I got it covered, God. We rely on ourselves. I don't need God. And if you haven't come to a place in your life where you know that you need God, this is a struggle. And it's our own pride. We may compare ourselves to other people. We think, well, I'm not as bad as, well, that's not what God tells us is the standard. It's not other people. The standard is His Word. And what it tells us about us in our Word, in His Word. That we fear God, beginning of wisdom. We realize who He is, we respect who He is, and we understand who we are. That we're all sinners. That we're all in need of a Savior. That we need to walk in relationship with Him. And we need to repent. And we need to come before Him and say, I give my life to You. And then walk in the wisdom daily that He gives us. Get into His Word, because that's the authority in our life then. That's what dictates what we do, how we do it, when we do it. It's not like you're getting an itemized list every day. He gives us principles. And that's what we're learning in James. We'll face trials. How do we deal with that? We ask for wisdom. We ask for wisdom, and we don't doubt. So, you come to the end of those verses, and questions to ask yourself are, what's your go-to when you face a trial? When something comes at you, what do you do? Worry's a big one, isn't it? We lose it. We get angry. We get bitter. That great question, why God? We love to ask Him that, don't we? Why God? We may never get an answer. We may find out why. But the testing of our faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that we will be mature and complete. That word is perfect. Will you be without sin? Will you not sin? No, that's not what it's saying. That you are growing in relationship. There's consistency in your life. That before God, you are righteous. But you must believe and not doubt that He's there. We've seen it countless times in our life where we've had to trust God, where that's been tested, where am I going to trust You in this situation or am I not? And God always, always provides. God always gives us the steps we need. It says that He will be a light unto our path. In other words, you'll get wisdom for the next step. You won't get the whole list of directions, because from where you're standing right now, you may not like where it's taking you. So what's your go-to when you face a trial? Do you deal with some of that double-mindedness where it's, this is what God wants, but I want? Or do you submit and give it over to God? Do you allow Him to work? Do you struggle giving up control and relying on God and His wisdom? Those are issues. In your bulletin, you've got some questions, which are basically what I just said. If you want, you can talk about those at home this week. Have some conversation about that. And then we have a homework assignment just to consider something you may be looking at this week. And that you'll ask for God's wisdom in dealing with that or anything unexpected. So let's close in prayer. Father, thank You so much for Your love. We thank You for the gifts You've given us. And I pray that we can fix our eyes on Jesus, we can turn our eyes on You. And Lord, that we can walk in faith, not in doubt, which is usually rooted in fear. Lord, I pray that You continue to speak to our hearts even as we go. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's close by turning in our hymnals.